This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
This is that call that heard she's talking about.
And then when she got on the phone, I had told her, Karen, I saw you guys outside of my sister's house. And then she told me she didn't remember being there. And then she went on to say, she started saying, could I have hit him? Did I hit him? And then she just was just all over the place, like screaming my name, screaming so many different things. She was hard to follow or understand.
When she was saying to you, did I hit him? Could have I hit him? Was that before or after you informed her that you had seen her out front of your sister's house?
It was after I told her that. She also informed me that she had cracked her taillight.
In that conversation, she told you that?
In one of the conversations I had with her in my bedroom, yes.
When you told her that you had seen her out front, mm-hmm. She had said that she didn't remember that night. Was that before or after she was saying, did I hit him? Could have I hit him?
Can you repeat the question? Sorry.
She was telling you about that she didn't remember that night. Mm-hmm. Was that before or after you had told her about seeing her car?
When I said I saw you, her at Fairview, then her response was she didn't even remember going there.
Okay. Did she ever deny that she came to Mr. O'Keefe's house? I mean, to your sister's house?
No.
When she told you or said to you, did I hit him or could have I hit him or something like that, did you have any idea what she was talking about?
No, I didn't pay attention to it.
When she told you that she had cracked her taillight the night before, did that have any significance at that time to you?
No.
And it wouldn't, because that piece of the puzzle has not even been presented yet. What is going in Karen's mind at this moment in time? Obviously, it's very, very chaotic. And she's seemingly trying to put some pieces together here. But I am kind of fascinated with the story changing that quickly. Is that just like what we experience sometimes after a night of heavy drinking, where someone says, hey, remember when you said that? And you're like, oh yeah, I do kind of remember that.
Exactly. Yeah. I have very seldom had nights of heavy drinking because I'm too much of a lightweight.
Yeah.
I'd probably be in a blackout state after three or four drinks. That's all it would take for me. And then I puke and I just, it's not a good time. So I have learned to just kind of stay away from it. But I certainly have friends that I have seen in blackout states. And the interesting thing is, for those that I would say, yeah, I think he's an alcoholic, they drive their cars and they drive fine and they seem to know where they're going and they're not slurring and they're apparently cogent at the party or whatever. And then I talk to them the next day and they're like, I don't remember anything after 10 p.m. I hope I didn't offend anybody. What did I do? Mm-hmm. And then having a conversation, well, do you remember driving over XYZ? And they'll say, oh yeah, I think so. But I mean, I could make up a story and tell them they did something really crazy and they'd probably believe it at that time. So it's an interesting way that the brain can sometimes pull bits and pieces of information, but then the hippocampus shuts down and people will just lose hours. And then I think the brain comes back and tries to fill in the blanks. But you can certainly prompt people, you know, and suggest possibilities to them, and they'll latch onto it, and it's as if they remember it. And so probably with her over time, as it became clear that there were going to be consequences for, did I hit him, that she became increasingly sure in her mind that she didn't. And I think it would be, you know, looking at her from a clinical point of view, it would be in her favor psychologically. I would look at her, you know, as a healthier person if she were able to own, you know, my memory is impaired for that night. I don't remember everything. I hope to God I didn't hit him. I hope there's reasonable doubt about that. But not to come up with this story about I remember everything now and I saw him go in the house.
What's interesting about all of that is that that obviously was being suggested to her quite heavily once they actually were trying to figure out what's going on right in that moment. Even her friends were saying, you know, Karen, no, I mean, why are you saying this? Why are you thinking that? Here's Carrie Roberts in her testimony.
Karen pointed out and said, look, my taillight. And I said, she said, do you think I hit him? And I said, no, I don't think you hit him. What are you talking about? Let's just go find him. But the taillight itself, the piece was missing. And as you got closer, there's a metal sort of square, and one of the pieces was sort of sticking out. And I only remember it because I thought if someone walks by that, they're going to catch their jacket on it.
How long of a time did you have to actually look at the taillight?
Under a minute.
How close were you to the taillight when you looked at it?
I was in front of it. I could see.
And when you talked about the taillight, you said a piece was missing. Is this the left side or the right side of the Lexus that you saw the piece of the taillight missing?
It was the right side, so it was the passenger taillight.
May I approach?
Yes.
Should I remain, Your Honor?
Sure.
Thank you. Do you recognize what is in that photo?
That is Karen's SUV.
Is it similar or a fair and accurate depiction of how you saw the vehicle that morning?
Without the snow, I can't be positive, but this square piece was missing, as is in this picture.
The photograph you look at is not the car in the snow in the driveway the day you saw it.
Correct.
Putting that aside, is that a fair and accurate depiction of the damage that you saw to the right rear taillight of Ms. Reed's car that morning?
Yes.
I found it interesting, the first part there about the the situation and as it was going down, do you think I could have hit him? Again, that being the big focal point, she's saying it to multiple people, and it just keeps building and building and building. Eventually, we get to where they are getting close to the body, and Karen seems to know where to go. We'll get there in a second. Any comments on that before I go to our next clip?
Do you think I hit him? It sounds like that was her worst fear and could have been grounded, as you say, in reality, that as she was backing up, was she, aware that he was back there, unaware he was back there? We don't know, but she was certainly panicked and at that point taking, or certainly ready to take responsibility. If everyone around her had said, yes, clearly you did hit him.
Yeah.
Then the whole story could have gone a different way.
With all those suggestions being made to her eventually, and it's adding up to what she worst feared this whole time. Why does she go a different direction? Is that just the self-preservation? Is that I don't want to go to jail, so I can't believe that, because and that's where it gets kind of shitty. That's where it's ooh, okay. But then all these other people get brought into it because you don't want to accept responsibility.
Right. That's the thing that puts a twist on it that looks, we'll just say, less than honest and less than, it lacks integrity.
Sure.
We can put it that way. Is the conspiracy theory blaming all these other people who were your friends,
And his friends,
His friends, people that obviously care about him and cared about the children. And, it's kind of, it took a dark twist.
It does. And here's Jen talking about their relationship with her.
How close is your friendship with John O'Keefe at that time?
He was a very good friend of mine that I knew I could call for anything.
I want you to take us forward to January 28, 2022. Do you remember that day?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember it well?
Yes.
Take us to the early morning hours, January 28, 2022. Did you learn there may be weather or a storm coming?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
We all saw the report that there was going to be a big storm, a nor'easter. So we all knew that basically all the Saturday activities were going to be canceled.
That includes sports?
Yes.
Was and is the sporting events for the children a big part of your life?
Yes, back then I had, you know, two in high school that played three sports, and they played club sports as well. And then the two middle school played club sports and town sports. So most of our weekends were taken up by kind of running from one sporting event to the next.
And she goes into great detail. Brennan just kind of asks a lot of questions to point out just what a kind of normal, you know, life they're living in that town kids and sports and everything. Really paints a picture I think most people, if you have kids at one point in time, can relate to, where it's like, okay, all this is going on, we're helping each other out, they all end up at the bar that night, everybody's in a good mood, the cameras show all this as well, there is nothing negative going on at that bar that night. They eventually decide to go back to the McCabe's house, and it's kind of what, you know, you might picture if you've been in that situation. A lot of friends, a lot of family, friends that are considered family, everybody just having a good time and relaxing. Not one person talking about killing someone in the house and then everybody coming up with a conspiracy.
Not a murderous criminal gang, right?
No.
They're not the kind of people that you would assume just randomly killed their friends.
No, not at all. And that's what I really struggle to go with here. It's like, how do you expect a jury to believe this? That this, everything that was going on, accounted for by many, many people, young and old alike. Some are officers. Some have nothing to do with the police force. They're just there. They're friends. They're family members. They're kids. That somehow all of these people, and we learned about what was going on in the house that night. Everybody's kind of in the same area. It's not like John got in and they drug him down to the basement or something, and nobody saw this happen. And then why would that even happen to begin with? But the whole damn premise just seems so absurd, especially when you hear the timeline and you hear everybody basically having the same story and observations of the night being a positive night, not knowing anything was wrong until the next morning when Karen is freaking out, wondering if she killed John O'Keefe. How does that play to a jury? How do you think a jury is going to take it this time, when we heard the way that Brennan really got the story out of Jen McCabe of that night in chronological order, in a calm manner, compared to what they're going to hear from the defense of Karen Reed, that there was something horrible, nefarious going on in that house?
It sure wouldn't fly with me, you know, and I guess it depends on who's in the jury. I did catch a YouTuber last night who I had never heard of before, but a true crime YouTuber who's also some kind of an attorney. And he was ranting about evil Jen McCabe and how she was a liar, and how it was clearly the cops that did it, and Karen is innocent and a scapegoat. I mean, you know, there are reasonably bright people who still are throwing this narrative out there. And so could those people be on a jury? I guess, but it wouldn't fly with me.
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
I don't get reasonably intelligent people looking at this objectively, at all the facts, and still going, yeah, that story about him getting beat up makes any sense.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. She was the perfect wife, always smiling, always supportive, a pillar of the community, beloved by friends, adored by family, and secretly researching undetectable poisons in her spare time. Maybe it was the way he chewed. Maybe she just got bored. Or maybe, just maybe, she had been planning this since the honeymoon. But if he had just paid attention, if he had just known what to look for, if he had only subscribed to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and learned the red flags, he could have heard every episode of Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, ad-free, and before everyone else, he could have seen it coming. Instead, he's 6 feet under, and she's shopping for husband number two. Don't be like him. Subscribe now to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts.